DW Africa Link.
I don't know anything about football, but with the Scotia reaching the finals, I said that, oh, this is great. I have to come to see the finals.
She was excited to see the finals. Unfortunately, her team, the Scotchers of Malawi, lost to the indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon in the last game of the Women's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. However you look at it, the tournament has been historic. So how did it all unfold? What were the surprises? And now that Africa has crowned a new queen, what does this mean for the 2027 Women's World Cup in Brazil? All that and more coming up shortly. Please stay with us. This is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter across Africa. I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina, your host for today.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Cameroon made history on Sunday, August 16, becoming only the fourth nation to win the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, joining Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and South Africa. In 48 minutes, Cameroon scored 3 goals to seal their title even before halftime. Malawi carried its own historic run in their first ever tournament by coming from a completely unassuming posture to be nicknamed the tournament's fairy tale story. And beyond the final, WAFCON 2026 had its shocks. But there was perhaps none bigger than the early exit of 10-time champions Nigeria, long considered favourites. So let's unpack all of this. And for that, I'm joined by Biola Solis-Chukwu. She's a sports analyst. And I also have DW's correspondent in Malawi, Chimwemwe Padatha. Welcome you both. Biola, describe the 2026 WAFCON in one word.
I feel like asking me to describe it in one word is a little wicked because I do not have one word, to be honest. This was the most interesting, most unpredictable, most nerve-wracking, nail-biting Women's Africa Cup of Nations ever. I'm sorry, I gave more than one word.
That's fine, totally fine. What's influencing the words that you're using?
From who were the quarterfinalists, to who were the semifinalists, to who we saw in the final, to who won the tournament, to the big upsets that happened, to the names that didn't make the Women's World Cup next year. So much happened. To be honest, this Women's Africa Cup of Nations was everything. It had everything that could possibly have happened. And it was fun to watch as well. So yes, that's why I describe it in that way. It was probably the most interesting we've had in years, the most unpredictable, maybe ever as well. But it was also a really beautiful competition.
It really was a beautiful competition indeed. But let's stay on the final just a bit more. Were there any surprises there?
I wouldn't say there were. I think the only thing that was really surprising for me in the Women's Africa Cup of Nations final is the fact that we didn't get to see Malawi score. I mean, the highest scoring side at this Women's Africa Cup of Nations, I expected, you know, both teams to score, and then seeing that Cameroon were able to hold Malawi back from scoring. The prolific Chawinga sisters didn't get to put the goal in the net. That was one of the biggest surprises of the final for me. To be honest, going into it, I didn't think I knew who was going to win it. I think it could have swung either way. And I think I would have felt the same way about it. But I expected, you know, both teams scoring. But then seeing 3-0, that was fantastic, really.
It's quite interesting that for 3 past tournaments, Cameroon had not been able to score whenever they got to the finals. But for some reason, they managed to, you know, break that jinx that they had and pass the baton on to Malawi. But Chimwemwe, let me bring you in at this moment. Talk of the Chawinga sisters. I know that one of them left the tournament with the title of the tournament's top goal scorer. How has the reaction been so far on the ground, on their performance, on Malawi's performance in general?
So far, the reaction has been good. We have lost the final against Cameroon, but a lot of Malawians still consider our approach towards the tournament as a win for the Malawi's coaches and the entire nation. But Cameroon have won the finals, but the Scotchers have won the hearts of football lovers in Malawi and beyond. So to say about the mood and the reaction of Malawians, it's mixed. Some people who had their hopes high of a positive outcome and a win from the finals were let down. At the same time, Malawians are proud to have witnessed the thrilling performance of the Scotchers being debutants in the WAFCON and braving the heavy giants all the way to the finals. So the feeling is mixed. The reactions are mixed.
Right. Take us through the minds of Malawians. When the tournament was beginning, did you guys expect the Scotchers to get this far?
Yes, we expected the Scotchers to give us a good run because we have always believed in them. And now looking at the rankings before we started the tournament, Malawi was one of the lowest ranked teams. But we were still positive that we'll have a good watch on the Scotchers, having the Chawinga sisters play in the tournament, leading the Scotchers. So Malawians were positive that they will give us a good outcome.
Very interesting. Now, Biola, let me ask you the same question. What were your expectations for the Scotchers? I mean, before the tournament began?
Oh, I had very high expectations for Malawi. I don't think I would say I thought they would reach the final or maybe even semifinals, but I was absolutely sure that Malawi would make a mark. For many years, I have wanted to see Malawi play the Women's Africa Cup of Nations because they deserved to, not just because of the big names that they've had. They've had some, you know, steady growth, gradually growing, almost silently, really under the radar. And I just really needed this team to finally reach the Women's Africa Cup of Nations. And when they did, you know, I had a lot of people saying, "You're believing so much in this team." I did. I absolutely did. I didn't like that Nigeria had to face them, though. Of course, speaking from the Nigerian perspective, but I expected so much from Malawi, and I'm very happy that they didn't disappoint.
We'll definitely come to Nigeria shortly, but let's wrap up our discussion on the final. From where you sit, what would you say was the biggest strategy for Cameroon to win this tournament, especially because they appointed their coach just 2 months before the tournament began?
I think they were really strong defensively. They also had a team that was a mixture of youth and experience. Cameroon were really impressive. But defensively, they were really, really solid because at the end of the day, not conceding many goals was really instrumental to them winning. And they had a fantastic, fantastic goalkeeper who I also believe didn't need to win only the goalkeeper of the tournament. She could have probably won the player of the tournament as a whole as well. I think Michele Biniha is fantastic, and she was probably one of the major reasons why Cameroon went as far as they did.
You're spot on that. Michele was indeed fantastic. I saw a reel shared by CAF, you know, on when she saved several penalties. And you can just see the love for her was massive. But Chimwemwe, let's talk about the Chawinga sisters. You filed a report talking about their goal scoring and their influence. What can you tell us about how they contributed to how far Malawi came in this tournament?
Yeah, we cannot talk about Scotchers without mentioning the Chawinga sisters, Tabitha and Temwa, who are considered among the best football players in the world due to their incredible goal scoring records. And this is also one of the attributes making them unique. Apart from this scoring record, we can also talk about their dominance in top global leagues and their historic performances for the Malawi national team. Just talking about Tabitha, the elder who now plays for the French Lyon and became the first Malawian nominated for the prestigious Ballon d'Or, setting the world record as best Malawian footballer on the continent. Not only these accolades, we can also make reference to Tabitha's performance during WAFCON. Not only that, going to Temwa, we saw that she scooped the golden boot during the WAFCON. She played extremely well So this alone speaks volumes of their capacity as some of the world's best football players.
Right. Thank you, Chimwemwe. Biola, what about you? What was the impression these sisters left on you?
I think they showed, Chawinga sisters, that is, they showed that the fact that they are some of the best players in the world is not a fluke. And, you know, they could translate what they have been doing in their different clubs to the national team as well. Because even though we had some other Malawian players who were, I think, very instrumental to their reaching the final, I think Rose Kadzere was underrated, to be honest. She was so impressive, one of my best players in Malawi at the tournament. I think Fechin Zimu was also fantastic, but the Chawinga sisters were definitely more instrumental than anyone else. I mean, 5 goals and 4 goals for both players. I think, you know, the fact that they've been doing so well in their clubs was very big. They just basically brought that into the national team, and we've been expecting that for Malawi for years.
Okay, now let's talk about the biggest surprises. Of course, apart from Nigeria, a 10-time champion, not progressing as we thought they would. What surprised you the most in this WAFCON?
My biggest surprise, of course, Nigeria not just making the semifinals, also not qualifying for the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, not going into the Inter-Confederations Cup, Inter-Confederations playoff is definitely the biggest thing. But apart from that, the fact that Morocco didn't reach the final just blew my mind. I feel like this was the biggest opportunity they've had so far. Hosting it for the 3rd consecutive time, they had the biggest obstacles out of their way. Nigeria not there, South Africa not there, and still they couldn't do it. You know, hosting a tournament gives you a whole lot of advantage. And for a national team that has hosted 3 consecutive times and then reached the final in the first 2 times, you just expected this had to be it, right? Because we don't think they are going to be hosting a 4th consecutive Women's Africa Cup of Nations, and they won't have that home advantage. I feel like this was the time. So not seeing Morocco in the final, that was one of the biggest surprises for me, truly.
Well, Morocco indeed was a surprise for me as well. But for the Super Falcons, what does this mean really for them?
It means a whole lot of things, to be honest. And I think the first thing is the fact that the cracks that had been showing for years finally brought everything down. You know, after so many cracks, it all came crumbling down. And it also means that, you know, there's so much work to do. Despite dominating the Women's Africa Cup of Nations for many years, 10-time champions, there were always, at least in the last few WAFCONs, issues that should have been addressed, which weren't. And when you're making the same mistake over and over again, at some points, those mistakes will catch up with you. And that's what happened to the Super Falcons. But more than anything, I think what this shows is the growth in women's football in Africa and how no team can really dominate it anymore. Even if the Super Falcons, you can never take away those 10 titles. I don't think they are going to dominate as much ever again. Of course, this isn't saying the Super Falcons will not win more WAFCONs. They will. Football in Africa now, women's football in Africa has grown to the point where almost everyone is catching up. And that's what we want, right? That's what we all wanted to see. Everyone playing better.
The growth is important. But you mentioned there were some cracks within the Super Falcons that were not addressed. What were those cracks?
Yes, those cracks were, you know, women's football here in Nigeria not giving a whole lot of priority. Even though the Super Falcons have been dominating and have won 10 titles, I don't think I remember a time where the Super Falcons actually went into any major tournament, including the WAFCON, well prepared. But, you know, we've been riding on the fact that whether they are prepared or not, they have individual players who are so good, you know, relying so much on individual brilliance and, you know, not taking into consideration the fact that this team still needs to be prepared. After winning the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, the 2024 edition, the Super Falcons played not even a handful of matches, not many friendlies. FIFA windows kept coming and going while others were preparing and having some even very quality friendlies. Nigeria had no activity whatsoever. And, you know, the whole fire brigade approach that is always happening with Super Falcons was always going to catch up with them. So, yeah, this is one of those cracks there. I think this is a big lesson for the Nigerian Football Federation, the big lesson to Nigerian football as a whole, that you cannot keep making this mistake, especially when, like I mentioned before, others are catching up.
Now, at this point, let me bring you in, Chimwemwe. What does this tournament teach us about investing in women's football in Africa?
I think this tournament teaches us that it is possible to make it on the global rankings as one of the just upcoming teams from Malawi. But also it goes back to the Football Association of Malawi that there is need to increase financial investment and securing regular international friendlies, but also not forgetting grassroots development here in Malawi. Let's invest in women football, but also this has just also gone a long way towards the breaking stereotypes here in Malawi against women football. So we have a lot of work to do. The Football Association of Malawi has a lot of work to do if future performances, future matches of the Scorchers are supposed to improve. But then we have gained this global recognition. The WAFCON was a fair test for the Scorchers. Still more, we need a lot of investments here in Malawi when it comes to women football.
Thank you for that. So the consensus around the table is that there is indeed the need for more investment in women's football. Biola, if you ask what is the single biggest gap that needs to be filled for African women's football to be able to make, you know, that impact on a global stage more than it has from this WAFCON, what would that be?
So I think the biggest issue really is the attention that goes into women's football. There's a big disparity when it comes to the attention given to men's football and women's football. Women's football is almost treated as an afterthought, really. You go into a Women's Africa Cup of Nations and then the next one, you really do not know who is hosting till almost last minute. We know how this Women's Africa Cup of Nations went, how there were rumors of the host nation changing, how there was a postponement just 12 days to the start of the tournament. These are those issues, really. Just generally, women's football not getting the coverage that it deserves. When the Men's Africa Cup of Nations is holding, all around the world can access it almost easily. But during this Women's Africa Cup of Nations, especially at the start, from different parts of the world, people could not access the tournament. I think it's maybe as the time progressed, as the tournament progressed, it got better, but it still wasn't enough. And so many people couldn't watch live matches. Why is that so? These are the issues. Women's football just isn't given that priority, and that has to be fixed. This Women's Africa Cup of Nations, I think, was a really good advertisement for the tournament because it was fantastic. It was, and I wish more people could have seen it. So this should be a lesson, really, that people do want to watch the Women's Africa Cup of Nations. Just put it out there.
But do you think we'll learn these lessons?
I hope we do, really, because there have been so many instances where these lessons should be learned, but nothing much has been done about it. So it's really up to the federations, the administrations, CAF. It's so important that they learn these lessons. I mean, I think they would gain from it as well, not just the players, not just the coaches, not just the journalists who cover it. The Federation and CAF would gain from it as well. So I really hope, and I just cross my fingers at this point, really.
Well, I think that entire Africa has to gain, really, if women's football is fixed. But moving on to Brazil 2027, what are your expectations for the FIFA Women's World Cup?
Yes, I think expectations will be very high. Everyone will be eager to see how these teams translate their success on the African stage to the world stage, because that's a big issue, really. I mean, we've talked about Nigeria winning the WAFCON 10 times, but that success hasn't fully translated to the world stage. We reached the quarterfinals just once, and that was back in 1999. That hasn't happened again. So everyone will be looking forward to seeing how these teams can fare in the world stage. Will they have beatdowns? Will they surprise the world? You know, I'm particularly looking forward to seeing Malawi, seeing how they can score as many goals as possible at the World Cup. I'm looking forward to seeing how the defense of Algeria, fantastic defense, will do in the world stage as well. So the expectations are high, and I wish them all the best in Brazil next year.
Let me bring in Chimwemwe also, as far as expectations are concerned. Chimwemwe, are there talks of preparations ahead of the 2027 World Cup, or is it too early?
So all we see is success for the female national team from this tournament. The Scorchers are heading to Brazil for the 2027 FIFA Women's World Cup. So they secured a place after this brilliant showpiece against Ghana in the quarterfinals of the WAFCON. So that alone speaks volumes of the success which awaits. So Malawians football fans here are looking up to 2027 for the FIFA Women's World Cup. We saw that the team pushed further past the semi-final finals to reach their first ever WAFCON final. So this marks a turning point for Malawian football. We have witnessed the turn of rising from the regional underdogs to competing on the continental stage and now to the global stage.
Right. Biola, you have the final words. What changes do you think this WAFCON has brought to women's football in Africa forever?
I think the perception really had been that women's football in Africa is boring. It's dull. You know, it's been very laughable to me because when I see people say that, I know they do not watch it. But I think more eyes came to the Women's Africa Cup of Nations this year, and people have seen how fun, how elating it can be. And that has changed a lot. And from that, during the tournament, we all saw that many people were talking more about the Women's Africa Cup of Nations on social media. I saw more people creating content around the Women's Africa Cup of Nations more than ever. That was so heartwarming to see. You know, people who just talk about football randomly were talking about the WAFCON. That doesn't happen every time. But because people saw the conversations happening, a few people watched more of the matches, that's perception is gradually changing. So I'm glad we can hold on to that from this year's WAFCON, and I hope it gets better from here.
We all hope it gets better really from here. Thank you all so much for joining us. You just heard Biola Solechukwu. She's a sports analyst. Earlier you heard DW's Chimwemwe Padatha joining us from Malawi. Grateful for your time, both of you.
Thank you. It was such a great WAFCON. Let's do this again in what? 2028.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Well, now to understand just how much this tournament meant on the ground, we spoke to some football fans in Malawi.
The performance the team displayed in this continental showpiece was brilliant. They went in as debutants and the underdogs, but they returned as heroes, finishing as runners-up and coming just a centimeter away from bringing the trophy home. I believe their win against Nigeria, the 10-time WAFCON defending champions, gave them the motivation to deliver against Egypt as well as Ghana in this competition.
They were good from the word go. They really played well, utilizing the chances that they had. So it's just a congratulations for the ladies. We wouldn't ask for more. We have qualified for the first time to the FIFA Women's World Cup.
So excited that our ladies, the Scorchers, made it to the finals. Unfortunately, we came behind, but it's all good. We'll get them next time. And looking forward to the World Cup next year in Brazil. They're going to make us proud again.
For football analysts like Biola, one thing is clear, that African women's football is growing and the competition is no longer defined by predictability. With four teams now heading to Brazil for the 2027 Women's World Cup, the question is no longer whether African teams can compete, but how far can they go? Share your thoughts with us on Facebook and on TikTok at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel. This show was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. And I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina. Bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.